Well, I'm in the Desert Hills. Etc.
Okay. So Cameron's not here, but I'm going to go ahead. Oops, since Kirk gets back.
I'm going to just ask Rochelle to come in and double check my recorder set up.
All right.
And we need the camera on too, right?
No.
No? Oh, just to record it. Yeah. Okay.
We could have.
Doesn't matter. We're not worried about it.
Yeah. Michelle, could we have you running in more directions than once?
Well, she's done that. I'm going to say, hi, Tom. This is Kirk.
Kirk?
Yep.
And are those speakers placed?
It's on.
Okay.
Are the speakers placed okay for picking everybody up?
I think they should be.
Okay.
Unless you want to move that one closer to you two.
James Cameron. We can't get it to
one. I just get further away from the phone.
You're right. Let's get to my phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. So.
I was actually thinking if it was too close to the phone, so? That's all you would hear was Tom. But.
So maybe if we put it like here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're good. It is 10:05, and I will call to order the PCJWSA workshop. It is January 21st, and we are at the authority headquarters. I will call the roll. Tom Donahue.
Here.
Sean Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, Cameron Gogas is not with us yet. All right, our purpose, and he just drove in, so we will
give him a minute
to get in, and then we'll go ahead with the discussion and we won't have to repeat ourselves.
Windy down there?
Meeting to order, and Cameron is here, so we will begin. Rob Mills is with us from SDAO to facilitate our session, and I think, Rob, I'll just hand it over to you, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. All right. Well, nice to see you again. My understanding of what you want to accomplish today is pretty well contained in that phrase at the top of your little agenda there. To have a discussion about roles and goals and objectives, the working relationship between the board and your new authority manager. And I emphasize facilitated discussion. This is not something that I present. I want to engage you in a conversation about those three bullet items, and those are very generally defined there. Looking at the key elements of the relationship between the board and the authority manager, looking at priorities as seen by the board and seen by the authority manager, and obviously looking for consensus or mutual understanding of the district's priorities. And then I'd like to conclude with talking about measures of success on down the road, let's say 6 months down the road. How will we know that this new relationship is working both for Kirk and the board and your customers in the district? Now, this is a very broad description of what I thought we needed to accomplish. And as we go along, I hope you'll jump in with your questions to each other, not necessarily to me, but questions to each other. That's part of the spirit of discussion. So I'll be trying to provoke a discussion, promote a discussion, encourage you to discuss. And the reason for this is a bias that I've always had in situations like this is the need for clarification. A lot goes on in the interviewing process. A lot goes on in any transition that an organization like yours is making. But a lot is missed in the discussing. You've had an opportunity to interview Kirk. He's evaluated you and assessed the situation here. But that's only a surface conversation in some respects that you've had. And so this is a continuation of that conversation, hopefully. And it's not the end of the conversation. It's only one part of many conversations that I hope you will, and I think you will be having over time. I want to commend you as a board for making the decision to do this. In my experience in working with special districts over the past 5 or 6 years, I've seen quite a few instances where boards and the management staff would benefit from doing what you've elected to do, which is to have this piece of a conversation. Most often, it has to do with a major transition that's going on, and people take it for granted that certain things are going to happen in a major transition. I'm talking about a transition such as you're experiencing with bringing a new authority manager on in a very complex, busy environment. But there are also other transition examples such as mergers or proposed mergers between districts, special districts, and boards just think that, well, we can get together with them and we'll talk about who's going to drive which engine and whose budget process we're going to use, and we'll be good to go. We all know that that's really surface stuff. So I commend you for doing what you're doing today. I'd like to start with, first of all, does that make sense? And please put out any specific questions that you have as we go along. Don't worry about whether they seem to be smart questions or not, or whether they seem to be exactly relevant to what we're talking about. But please feel free to put it out there on the table. So
I mean, this is like really kind of, we're not even really into it, but what possibly could we be missing, and then how could we bring everything together as far as what is his expectations or in our expectations? You know, you're here to do a job, but even still, there's a lot of gray area in between. Sir.
And I like that. What possibly could we be missing? Let's find out.
That relates to one of the things I was thinking about, too, is we, the board, know what our history has been, recent and longer past history. But we really don't know as much about Kirk's experience working with boards and what his perspective and experience has been. So that was...
So that one of the things, missing items.
That was one of the things that I really kind of wanted to explore as we start into this relationship, which we know will be a good one.
Good, good. So. Did you have something to say? Okay. I'm going to be taking a bunch of notes as much as possible, so I will provide you my version of a write-up afterwards, within days after we get done. So, good question, and we'll come back to that. Remind us of that, but you said, what are we missing, and how can we possibly get our arms around whatever it is we're missing? Let's make sure we talk about that as we go along, but I think you've already heard one thing we might be missing is a more in-depth understanding of Kirk's background and who he really is.
I may have buffaloed you all in my interview process.
We'll find out. Just kidding.
But one of my strong points is my technical background and my experience as a manager over many years. One of the areas that I've been slower to develop in, and I have nearly 5 years of working directly for a board, I want to make it clear, and I think you've probably noticed this already, Recorder was an example, I still rely on the board to sort of lead me down some of the protocols from the special districts or requirements or the state regulations as far as conducting meetings. I'm very familiar with it, but I'm used to having a board that guides me, keeps me in check, I guess. And so I will say that's not my strongest point, but I should be very capable of picking that up quickly because I've done it for 5 years. Perhaps maybe I should have been less dependent on my previous board for some of those things, and so I hope to improve in that area.
So there's another partial answer to your question right there from Kirk's perspective.
And our staff has a lot of experience with that sort of thing too, so Michelle will be very, very helpful.
And interestingly, this is one of the things that came out in my previous conversation with Ann and Carolyn about the adjustment, the adaptation that you're going through from one form of special district to an Oregon version of special district, which
correct.
Is what you're talking about there. So we're hitting on the cylinder so far. So let me ask, going back to that conversation, I think your other board members know that we had a conversation at the end of, on December 30th. I visited with Ann and Carolyn to get a little background on this. And one of the things that you two said in that meeting was, our goal is to give Kirk as much support as possible and the best resources available to help him succeed and to keep the board out of the day-to-day activities. That's a pretty clear statement. I'd like to hear the board as a whole talk about more about what was meant by that.
Well, I think we've been to board training with special districts, and I think we all agree that our position as a board member is not to be dictating which on the ground project gets done first, or what letter gets written first and put in the mail. I mean, the daily details are not the responsibility or the purview of the board. Our position is more to determine policies and discuss with the manager as he finds useful procedures he has in mind that will support those policies in the most effective way. So, so I guess that's my own overview of that.
Good. Go.
I think for me, I feel like with regards to most of our policies, the organization is pretty well set, and with most of the budget, I feel like we're in good position with our budget. So I'm not as concerned about that, but I know that I feel like that with a new authority manager, that as a board, we have the potential to, in our heads, think about all the things we might be missing or haven't been done or we would like to see done. And that if we don't put thought into it, we maybe begin to blurt those out, and a new manager might step right in and try to keep the board happy by doing those things. And so I'd like to see us have that clear boundary between the board and the authority manager. So the authority manager truly gets to act like the CEO of the organization and do that job rather than trying to keep the board happy or just do what the board wants done. So not that we intentionally would go that direction, but from my experience in other organizations, I've seen that happen all too often, and I think the way to prevent that is to have a good discussion.
Getting pulled into the day-to-day
Pulled into the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. Just because, I've got this pet project, or I think you need to be talking to so-and-so, mm-hmm. or gee whiz, this hasn't been done. It's so easy, I think, during a transition to itemize those things to make the organization better. And you're really then directing the authority manager rather than letting the authority manager look at the whole picture mm-hmm. and make those decisions.
Has that been a challenge for you in the past as a board here with?
I don't think it's, well,
I mean, I'm jumping in from new, fresh. It's it's a little different, but I don't want to feel like that Kirk's got to make us happy. I don't.
What do you mean?
In terms of day-to-day projects, right, that kind of thing.
I'm sure, we hired a competent,
I didn't want to lead you the wrong direction, but I'm qualified.
No, but it's, you know, I'm capable of the job. I'm sure he's going to, you know, have some hiccups along the way, but if we're not here to support him, then we're only as good as, you know, what you are able to do. I just to nip things in the butt and, you know, and inform us of something coming up. That's, and as long as we can provide him the proper tools to do his job,
all right,
we can continue our flow.
Would it be helpful? I mean, I think one of the things I've been thinking about is, given that Kirk is new to this position, but also new to the state of Oregon, uh-huh, is talking about an overview of what the responsibilities of the board are under Oregon law, and what, you know, what our role is, what our purpose is. You know, we're limited in some aspects by what the state says we can and can't do. I mean, you know, we can't take any action as a board member by ourselves, right? We got to have the entire board together. So, I mean, I don't know how, I assume Kirk's been doing some reading on that, but, you know, having you here, I think it'd be extremely helpful to just kind of give an overview of what the roles and responsibilities of board members are and how, you know, elected boards work in the state of Oregon.
Well, I've already heard you describe several as a board, so I don't think it's a matter of you not knowing, but what would you add to the list? I've heard staying out of the day-to-day, policy. You are a policy-making entity. You are not into the day-to-day operational details. You have responsibilities as far as the legalities of conducting meetings and so on. This came out in our previous conversation, but add to the list here. I mean, you remind Kirk right now of some of the other major board duties and responsibilities that come with your territory.
Well, we have ultimate responsibility for the fiscal, sound fiscal management,
yep,
of the authority.
Yep.
Me?
Tom?
My main concern is that we maintain a good line of communication between the AM and the board. Sometimes even day-to-day activities we should know about. That's not to say that the AM shouldn't, you know, take charge, but letting us know what's going on and a good line of communication, question and answer, especially during this transition period, about our policies and that sort of thing. That's my opening concern here with this discussion.
So when you say some information on day-to-day, Tom, what are you talking about? When is that appropriate and when is it not?
When there's an emergency, for example.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about minutiae here.
I know. That's why I'm asking the question. All right. So you would like to see the board get some day-to-day input on an as-needed basis in the event of emergencies.
Correct.
Okay.
One of the things that will help us with that is in the design of the new website. There's a scrolling banner for news and alerts kind of thing. And not that we as board members are going to stay glued to the website every single minute, but there's going to be a process for putting that type of information onto the website, and it might be a time that a quick alert could be sent out to board members just to say, this has happened, it's going up on the website. So if your neighbor comes down the street and says, hey, what's up with this, then at least you have a heads up. I mean,
okay,
that type of thing is a nitty-gritty detail, but it speaks, I think, to what Tom might be getting at.
Okay. One of the things I've seen overlooked a lot, particularly in small fire departments, that boards sometimes lose track of who's in charge. often they get bossed around quite directly by a fire chief. And it's weird, but it happens. And so by way of adding to our list here, and state law and so on, to Sean's point, I would remind Kirk that you are the elected officials. You are the ones who are ultimately accountable to your public. The first complaint might go to Kirk, but it's really a complaint to the board. You're ultimately responsible. You're elected by the people. Kirk's a hired person, but you serve at the mercy of your community. So ultimately, you are the dog that wags the tail rather than the other way around, which boards sometimes lose track of.
I've seen that kind of thing happen, and just my anecdotal observation is that it happens in situations where board members aren't actively engaged in the process of learning about what their not only what their responsibility is, but specifics in the management or whatever. And so again, communication with the authority manager and reaching out if you don't get something that's in a board packet that we're supposed to be discussing. Doing your homework is really important, and if you don't, you're going to be at the mercy of whatever Kirk thinks we ought to do, and you could find yourself in that kind of position. Yeah. I have seen it happen, and I think that's a major item on the roles and responsibilities of board members.
This might be a good time for me to contribute to the conversation as well, because one of the things I pride myself in is communications with the board. Mm-hmm. At the board meetings, I'm already working on a list of things that we're achieving or doing that are necessary, regulatory and so forth.
Great.
Adding that to the manager's report for the board meetings. I completely agree that if there's an emergency, with what Tom was saying, if there's an emergency water outage or something like that, I want to establish a means for me to communicate directly to the board, so that if you're getting calls from citizens or customers, then you have a heads up. It always is better if you have a knowledge of what they're concerned about when they call you. So I can definitely work at doing that. I also am very good at sharing with the board big items that are happening within the district or the authority. I will certainly, almost to a fault, provide backup information for the board to understand the decisions we're making and why we're making them. So one of my biggest surprises at our first board meeting was that it was so short, because I've been accused of making meetings longer by sharing maybe more information than is appreciated always, but I imagine that I'll be working to get a good feel for what you all want, the level of detail that you all want to hear. I do enjoy sharing with the board my logic and the decisions I make. I'm also well aware of the fiscal responsibility of the board. And so anything that's going to cost the community a significant amount of money, I'll want board input on those items. So, and then last but not least, I really appreciate this board's view of allowing the manager to do their job as well. What I found in my experience as a district manager, the more authority I have and the more trust that the board provides me, the more I can get done. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of the district's or the authority's accomplishments, so I'll continuously be trying to achieve as much as I should.
But I'll do that in a manner of where the board's not out of the loop, and if it's a big item, the board's going to be involved in providing the direction as to how you want to move forward for the community.
You're going in the direction I was hoping you would go in. Thank you for that. Tom, so just to add to your list of when you think good communication is in order, you mentioned emergencies. Kirk is added to your list, communication about the quote, big items. Just so you're noting, Tom. Back to a question I have of the board then. When Kirk talks about communicating on big items and emergencies, how do you want that communication? What's your preferred communication flow on that? How do you want to hear, how do you want that information to come to you?
Personally, I think it is a personal preference, but in my case, I prefer texting or an email, because I can get both on my phone and quick.
Personally, I like the email because I can see it went to the whole board, and then I'd like to at the same time remind the board that we can respond to Kirk individually if we have a question or concern, but please don't reply all, because then we're into a potential meeting, because we're having discussions that we could have at the board meeting by email without calling the meeting. So, and if there's an issue that, say, I would have in response that after a back and forth with Kirk, obviously I have concerns that other board members should have, then I either need to talk about calling an emergency meeting or have it wait until the next meeting to come up.
So this touches on one of the things that Sean is talking about, Oregon law, and probably not unusual or probably not different than Colorado, but do you understand the implications of what Carolyn just said about email?
Absolutely.
And no replies as a group, but continued replies on an individual basis if needed.
Yeah.
That's similar to what you've been through?
Yes.
Okay.
And I ask that emails that go out to the whole group, because we are all equal board members, even though, you know, I may be signing checks at this point or may stop more often because of my position. I'm very aware that position doesn't give me any more individual power with regards to any decision making that goes on with the board, and I have to keep that in mind so that the board is an equal member group and not, we don't end up with a hierarchy where everybody isn't equal here.
Yeah, and that also avoids one member getting too intimately involved and starting to take over and giving direction and mm-hmm. thinking that if it is to be, it's up to me kind of thing. I've got to do this. So, and part of the responsibility there would be yours, Kirk, to sort that mm-hmm. out. Say, wait a second, Mr. Board Member. I want to be talking to the whole board, not just you.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a good opportunity to suggest that I see what your thinking is, and that's important. Could we put that as an agenda
exactly.
item on the board meeting?
Exactly.
Agenda so that the whole board has a chance to think it through.
Exactly. Good.
Or can it wait? Can it wait, or does it have to be addressed now?
Or a special meeting
or something. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. This all making sense? Okay.
Right. And just for clarification, these are like the emergency items that I'm thinking too. Because so far I've been here 2 weeks, mm-hmm. not had an issue come up that merited that level of notification.
Right, yeah.
I'm still filling out my authority mm-hmm. a little bit. And sure. for example, I'll share with the board right now for the first time that we just hired a new employee that's going to start tomorrow.
Right.
And operate on training. So
great.
It's already on my manager's report. Employee issues are one of the things I usually include in or personnel issues are included in the manager's report that is discussed or at least shared at the meeting. So if that's appropriate, I didn't see that as something I needed to email all the members out.
No, I would agree with that.
Okay. So as far as employees, where do you see kind of right now as far as bodies? I know it's pretty new in the thing, but will you be able to kind of project of maybe down the road as far as
That particular question on content is more of a board meeting rather than a workshop.
I mean, looking.
Make note.
As far as finding things out along the way. So yeah, that would be.
I guess I could answer it if you're okay with this. We currently have an organization org chart, basically, that defines what positions are there. We have a couple unfilled still, accounting, well, I won't get into details, but we still have a couple unfilled. This is definitely one that's going to help us in the immediate, and it was almost...
I know the guy's just really been
to current
knocking it out.
Yeah.
Part of a continuing discussion.
Yes.
To be continued. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good. All right. So we've expanded the list of that we started out, board duties and responsibilities, and we see that they're not always neatly divided into these are the boards and these are the authority managers. There's a lot of give and take between there, but you've rounded out the list a little bit with some of the other things that we've talked about. So I'd like to move on to another issue that you and Carolyn brought up, Anne, when we met. Another thing that you said was, we want our communication to be squeaky clean. Could you explain that? I'm not sure. I think it was actually Carolyn's words, but I was struck by it, and I think.
I don't remember the exact context, but I would assume that in terms of our communication needs, squeaky clean, it was in relationship to this email issue mostly, but understanding that the board. How the board communicates in private and public situations outside of the board meeting. And that, you know, when four of us show up or three of us show up somewhere, we don't get in the corner and start talking about board business.
Even if we were talking about the latest building on the waterfront in Salem, somebody observing that situation might assume that we're talking about board business, which would still be kind of a dangerous just from a visual.
So we're getting into
trust issue.
To Sean's issue about board duties and responsibilities. This is clearly, is this making sense to you? Mm-hmm. Again, is this pretty familiar to you?
Absolutely.
That when two or three are gathered in his name,
yes, well aware of that.
Okay. Yes, Tom?
My biggest concern about communication is we speak with one voice. It's not uncommon in public entities like this district or any public agency to have just one public voice, and that should be the authority manager, as far especially when speaking to the public.
Excellent.
And that my biggest concern is in the past we have had a communication problem with the public, and the authority manager and the board have to be absolutely together when it comes to what we're going to be talking to the public about.
Excellent point. Thanks for that. And then it goes beyond not only speaking with one voice, but acting as one.
Right.
The follow-up. Go ahead.
And I think that here's some good examples. So if I get an email from a customer that has a complaint, my response basically is, thank you for letting us know about this. I've forwarded your email to the authority manager, and you'll be hearing from him very soon. And sending that back to the customer with a copy to the authority manager. I'm out of the loop. I don't answer those questions.
Okay.
They go directly to our authority manager. Or if the newspaper calls me and says, well, what does PCJWSA think about this? Well, that's a good question. Please call our authority manager or come to a board meeting and ask the question.
Okay.
I don't speak for this board.
Good.
On behalf to anybody. Our contact person is the authority manager unless it's at a public meeting.
That's an excellent point. Is this familiar territory?
It is familiar territory. It makes perfect sense. I believe staff is already aware of that as well from that from that side of things. And if it does get to, if the question rises to a point where it would involve a board decision, I would relay that to whoever is requesting the information. Okay. That is something we're going to have to discuss with the board.
There's another part to this, which is the enactment of an action that was made by board decision. An action was, you were speaking with one voice as a board, to Tom's point, you were speaking with one voice to take an action. But not necessarily behind that one voice was it really heartfelt amongst all five board members. But once it becomes a board decision, the enactment of it must be fully supported by all board members.
And, yes.
Okay, and that's fully understood and accepted by everyone.
Very, very important. And I think that kind of thing is also covered in the SDAO board training.
Oh, of course. It's,
yeah,
oh,
that's a absolutely pretty fundamental basic. Part of
that. But often that, overlooked.
Often overlooked, and I feel like we do a pretty good job of that. If any board member wants more time to think about something or review something in a different way, unless there's a time frame that we can't avoid, we'll delay it another month so that we can take a look at it. We've always tried to work toward consensus before we take a vote. It just doesn't seem, we're too small of a community, yep, not to try our best to find what works for everybody, because we're pretty diverse in our backgrounds and, yeah, fairly diverse in our opinions, and I think that's really healthy.
Yeah. Okay, good. There was one more thing that came up, one more quote I got from my session. Don't you love these replays?
now that you're really swimming to think what
it
was. You guys don't respond with your emails at all.
Well, I had all that stuff swimming around in my head and I couldn't put it on paper, so I just came down. This is
pretty harmless. Not that the others were harmful, but you also said, we want Kirk to know that we have his back. Expand on that, would you please?
I think I would say that being the authority manager of this organization can be pretty isolating, because you're in charge of a group of people, and then you have a group above you, and there's nobody laterally that is a peer for you. And that can be, sometimes I think you feel like you're getting it from both sides.
So
I want Kirk to know, I would like whoever is in that position to know that the authority truly does have his back, and if he's not feeling that way, then we need to have a conversation.
I've never liked somebody being questioned or chewed out in front of the public. I'd rather find out the information in a recess of what?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, somebody, employee or something that, you know, got fired or anything like that, instead of, why did you do that? You know, in front of a public meeting or in front of the public, that should all be closed door.
That would be a personnel issue,
right,
that's
right,
confidential.
Right.
You just don't chew,
you know.
You're talking about the board talking about a personnel action that was taken. And
well,
having to defend it or something?
Yeah, and just do it in a closed session, not out in the public.
In terms of
the issue, specific issue you're bringing up about us as a board having the authority manager's back, that when we're in a public setting, if we get our board packets a few days in advance so that we have a chance to, he has a chance to develop it with the most current information possible, and we have a few days to digest it, and there's always time for us as individuals, if we have a question about something on the agenda, to ask that question privately. And in terms of what you're talking about, I think if I'm hearing you right, we would not as a board consider it appropriate to come into a board meeting and say, well, so how come you did that? That was rotten. I mean, we're here to work together for the success of the authority. We're not here to exercise some kind of power trip and challenge people. And so, I agree completely.
So how would you handle that situation?
I would call Kirk and say, hey, can I come over and talk to you about this particular item? I'm not sure I'm understanding this.
As an individual
board member.
Okay.
And I would trust that there would be time to do that. And
are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do stop in if we have a board
do that fairly
question. Just to get clarity in the background.
Especially on accounts payable.
Yeah.
I can call and say, hey, what was this check to Coastway Construction? That seemed like kind of a big one. Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Thanks.
I've even called Tony and said, here's a heads up. Something's coming.
Absolutely.
That's what I heard down
absolutely
at the four-way stop.
How would you, Kurt, feel being on the receiving end of a call saying, hey, what's this about?
I'm fine with that. I'm used to that. But there is a limit as to, at some point it seems like it could become micromanaging, but for some issues like personnel issues, for example, why was so-and-so terminated, I would rather have individual discussions rather than a public discussion.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And for myself, I would expect an executive session to discuss
absolutely
personnel issues. But for staff, it would probably be me communicating to the board. And if there's questions, you could ask me individually, is how I would.
Well, staffing issues always should go through you. The board should not be having direct interaction with staff that has something to do with direction, obviously we interact with the staff all the time, but it's, your staff, so, if your staff has issues with the board, they should go through you, and if we have issues or questions with the staff, we should go through you,
There was an issue right when I came on there of an employee that got fired, and an individual wanted to know why, and because this person was handicapped, and I says, I have no idea, you'd have to talk to the manager about it, because they really wanted to know, and I didn't know, and I do.
Rumors get out that people are fired when that wasn't the case at all.
Right.
A person left under their own steam, It's like you say, it's better we just don't get involved in that. We just refer that whole conversation to the authority manager. And it's confidential. So.
But I think you bring up a good point in all of that, in that this community has a very, very quick and strong network. And radar is strong in terms of often. And radar
robust
is always up. And I think when you see something come up that you think, oh my goodness, I've heard three different stories about this already, probably worth a stop in at the authority manager's office and say, just FYI, this is what's being heard out there, and it may be questions that are going to come up at our meeting. Just want to share with you what the network is currently saying, because it takes about 15 minutes for three quarters of the town to figure something out.
Or at least hear about something. Accuracy is always questionable.
Yes. I see an advantage in, Kirk, in your description of how you approach the meetings and that sort of thing, and your interest and observation that the first meeting you attended seemed kind of short. And just as part of our history, when I joined the board, I can't remember how long ago, if the meeting went 10 minutes, it was long.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have more interest. We have more people asking questions. We have a local newspaper that comes fairly regularly and does, I think, good articles about our activities and decisions. And so I think your tendency to explain and bring more light to whatever issue is coming up in those board meetings is going to go a long way in terms of our collective effort to communicate really effectively with our customers. So
we had the benefit of an authority manager that had been here for, I don't know, I'm here 20 some years, right?
So yeah.
You know, and so we don't have the, you know, the knowledge of what it was like interacting with Tony when he first took over the job. So I would rather have you be more detailed, you know.
Okay, great.
And mm-hmm. you know, start working through that and navigating through that, but as opposed to the opposite of not being detailed at all, I'd much rather have way okay. more detail and then we'll figure out what works and what doesn't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the past several minutes, the board has been talking largely about their perspective, their expectations, some of the things they prefer. We've touched on board, some very specific board duties and responsibilities. Judging by your reaction, I'm assuming that none of this is foreign to you, and it sounds very familiar.
It's not foreign, and I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning of the meeting when during the interview process, you were trying to get an understanding of me. I was filling out the board, and what they're saying today is almost identical as the first impression I received from the board, okay. that they don't want to micromanage. They want to give the authority manager the authority to, I never realized those two words together, but the authority to get the job done most effectively. And so I was, in fact, considering the board I would be working for, and I couldn't be more happy with the way you guys are reaching out to make me succeed. And this meeting is a good example of that. So there's been no surprises at all so far. And I'm prepared to work hard for the board in the manner we're describing today.
So I'd like to expand on your perspective now. You came from a special district, a Colorado version of a special mm-hmm. district. But you were reporting to a board in your last job, right?
Yes.
Five-person board?
Five-person.
Okay. So I'd like to hear you talk a little bit about what are some of the things that seem to make that relationship between you and your board work well, as well as some of the things that disappointed you or could have worked better in that relationship.
Okay. I'm happy to share. I think we've already covered some of the things. The things that worked well was their interest in what we were doing. And I went to a district that was in need of repair, and it needed a lot of changes. And so we were able to accomplish a lot in the 4.5 years that I worked there. So they had initially provided me all the authority that I was able to utilize to get things done. My only complaint with my previous board was, as the board changed, there became a lot more mistrust, I'll say. Mm-hmm. I shared with you one example of the board just wanting to know some very fine details in regards to, are we paying any sales tax, was an example. To me, was an example.